listening to Eye on Travel. For more on anything you've heard or to ask a question, just visit our website at petergreenberg.com. Now, once again, here's Peter Greenberg.
It is 52 minutes after the hour. Hope you're enjoying your Memorial Day weekend, wherever you happen to be, of course. I'm back in New York in the bunker, and will be for quite some time, but safely broadcasting from our temporary studios here and answering your phone calls and your emails. Let's go to some of those emails. Here's one from Alex, who writes, our daughter had a pay ticket on Delta to fly from Atlanta to LaGuardia and back on June 16th of this year. That's coming up. Delta then informed us that they changed our itinerary and that we'd be eligible to get an e-credit to redeem it at a future time. Our daughter no longer needs to make the trip because it was to attend a wedding that's been canceled and isn't likely to use an e-credit to fly anywhere else anytime soon. Delta not offering her a full refund is flabbergasting, but one problem I see is that she paid for the trip with a credit with a debit card. She's in the process of establishing her credit and doesn't have a credit card yet. In your considered opinion, what can she do to get her money back? Well, I'm not a big fan of using a debit card for any kind of purchase in which you may need to establish credit or even pay in advance, because getting your money back then is difficult. However, in this situation, the U.S. Department of Transportation rule does prevail. She didn't cancel the trip. Delta changed the itinerary, and in the process of changing that itinerary, they canceled her flight. That constitutes a cancellation. So you're entitled to a full refund back to your original form of payment. That's like somebody redepositing money back into your checking account. So go back and talk to Delta, get to a supervisor, and if worse comes to worse, you don't have the same protections that you would have had with a credit card of disputing the bill. Once the money leaves your debit card account, it's essentially gone. But you can certainly write a letter of complaint to the U.S. Department of Transportation, Office of Consumer Affairs. Don't forget to copy me. That's Peter at petergreenberg.com. And let's see what Delta does, because the real rule here applies. The minute any airline messes with your reservation and changes the flight, they have absolutely canceled your outbound flight. And that rule kicks in, okay? Here's one from Lisa Ryder, another one about refunds on TAP Portugal. They purchased a fully refundable and cancel at any time business class ticket for a flight from Venice to Newark with a layover in Lisbon for this coming June. The flights, of course, have been canceled, and they've submitted, meaning the airline, our request to the proper department for review. The initial response is that we will receive a travel voucher. For a fully refundable ticket, are they kidding? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Remember, if they've canceled one leg, your other flight is canceled by that action. You're entitled to a full refund. So write them back. Remind them that USDOT rule applies to any airline, not just U.S. airline, but to any foreign airline that flies to the U.S., That would be TAP. So let me know what happens on that. But you're definitely within your rights, more than within your rights, the rule says you're entitled to a refund even if you bought a non-refundable ticket if the airline cancels. You did one better. You bought a refundable ticket. What's confusing about that? You bought a ticket that you could get a refund on. In fact, even if they hadn't canceled the flight, a fully refundable ticket is fully refundable until the moment you get on the plane. So you're in great shape. Let me know what happens, Lisa, okay? Here's one from John Meyer, who writes, I need to move a car from Gary, Indiana to New Bedford, Mass. I hear a lot about New York State restrictions. Can I drive the I-90 to the East Coast? Of course you can, John. I do it all the time when I was back in college. I used to go to school in Madison, Wisconsin, so I know the I-90 very well. In fact, I would start on the I-90 from Madison, go through Chicago and Gary, Indiana, and then head right back to New York. We did those as all-nighters. We were crazy then. But the bottom line is, of course, we live in the United States of America, and as long as your car is still properly registered and there are no outstanding warrants, right, John? Get in the car and drive. There are no restrictions. So please go and you'll be fine. The bottom line is, right now, traffic's going to increase in this country. We'll see it this weekend as people begin to kind of, you know, emerge slowly from their houses and get in their cars and take trips that are sort of like, 100 miles from home. Then they'll improve that to maybe 300 miles from home, one tank trips, if you will. And then they'll get smart, and then they'll take long trips. So your trip from Gary, Indiana to New York, piece of cake. Just, you know, don't forget to stop, you know, when you need to stop, okay? Let's go to the phones. We've got Binod calling from Toronto, Canada. How can I help you, sir?
Hi, Peter. Thank you for taking my call. My question to you is that most people, when they book their vacations, when they're going on tours, what they do is to make sure that they get their money just in case for some unforeseeable reason that they can get their money from the travel insurance company. However, what is happening is that the travel insurance companies are using the pandemic as an excuse not to pay. Nowhere in the statement, you know, when they actually made the reservation, the word pandemic was there. It's only in the fine words if you read the whole agreement. And this is causing
exactly.
a great deal of problems for customers.
I understand. Well, here's the biggest problem. Whether you're booking online or through a travel agent, if you're booking online, you can't even complete the transaction without either opting in or out of travel insurance. And they never give you page 5 of the website on that first page of the website of the transaction. So you didn't even know about what you were or were not being covered for. And that's really irresponsible on the part of either the online travel agency or the actual insurance company themselves or both. So for anybody, I've said this before, I'll say it again. If you want to make your reservation online, opt out of the insurance. And then if you want to buy the insurance, go through a regular human being travel agent who then should be responsible for reading all that website gobbledygook to let you know if what you're buying is actually worthless or not. It's really a simple solution of communication because as with any insurance policy, and I'm sure I'll get about 100% agreement on this from everybody listening to this show, I cannot understand those hieroglyphics. I need somebody to read me that language in a way I can understand it. So if someone's going to sell me a policy, they have to explain it to me. Otherwise, why would I ever buy the policy, right?
You're absolutely right. And I equate
that's what we're going
to
do. So it's all a matter of, you know, of full disclosure at the point of sale. And that's one of the overriding lessons we have now learned from the COVID-19 crisis. Binod, thank you so much for your call. Let's go much closer to home, at least for the Chicago folks, to Trish in Schaumburg. How are you, Trish?
Oh, hi, Peter. It's good to talk with you. I'm good personally, but not so good travel-wise. I had planned on taking an Alaskan cruise in June, and I had also planned on spending 2 days at the Trump Hotel in Vancouver. And ever since we've closed the borders, in fact, not only closed the borders, but the hotel isn't even open, I cannot get anybody to help me. It's been
okay.
A real battle.
Let me just ask you this question. I'm going to ask you this question, Trish.
Okay.
Your goal right now is to get your money back, correct?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. And did you pay with a credit card?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So I mentioned this earlier in the show, but I'll mention it again. There are two things that protect you. One is called Regulation Z. It's part of the Federal Credit Act. And the other is called the network policies of both Visa and MasterCard. And American Express has a similar policy, by the way. And Regulation Z says if you contract for a service that through no fault of your own you didn't get, you're entitled to a refund. You need to dispute the charge on your credit card. But let's say that's not even enough, or that dispute that you're making is that claim is denied. Then there's something else. It's called that network policy. And that network policy says, and by the way, it's in your favor, there's a countdown. And the countdown is 120 days from the day you find out you're not getting the service. So if you booked something in May and you find out at the end of this month you're not getting it, you have 120 days from the day you find out to file that claim, and they'll honor it. This is especially the case with a lot of the tour companies that actually went out of business because of the pandemic. So remember, you contracted for something through no fault of your own you couldn't get. And the fact that the hotel is closed proves the point. The fact that the border is closed proves the point. I mean, you can't mess with that. And so go ahead and dispute those charges on your credit card statements. And then let's go to a worst case scenario, okay? The worst case scenario is the credit card company says, we're going to take the word of the hotel or the cruise line. We're not giving you anything back. Guess what you get to do at that point? All right? You just go to small claims court in Schaumburg, and you file a claim against the Trump Hotel in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You have a hotel there. And you file a claim against whoever sold you the cruise and the cruise line itself, which I guarantee you has a sales office. And as long as the total amount of the claim is under $7,500, you're going to prevail. Here's one from Dr. Karlinski, who writes, we are three couples, college friends. In February, we booked a 10-day private tour of Scotland with Audley Travel. We paid a deposit of $2,700 per couple. The tour is set to begin in Edinburgh on September 2nd. Now, remember, guys, we talked about this a little earlier in the show. Today is only Memorial Day weekend, and we're talking 3 months out. But Dr. Karlinski decided they do not want to travel internationally in September, and they notified the tour company, Audley, and guess what? They're only going to process travel credits only beginning 45 days prior to departure, which would be July 17th, even though the couples told them they didn't want to travel. They've already made that decision. And to add insult to injury, as per the contract they signed, the tour company wants them to pay the balance of the trip, another $8,000 per couple, coming up on June 5th. And of course, they informed them that we do not plan to pay this additional sum. We're concerned that the United Kingdom open up for travel by mid-July, and that the tour company may have the right to collect a substantial cancellation penalty, which is 25% of the deposit already paid. All right, what are their rights? Well, let's take a look at the current situation. The United Kingdom is more or less going to stay closed for a while. Right now, even if they're officially open, there's a 14-day quarantine rule in effect, which means even if they let you in, you're stuck in your hotel for 14 days. You can't go anywhere. And that's not going to happen for you. And it's not going to happen for the tour company. If they have in their contract, they can only process refunds 45 days prior to the actual scheduled date, that being July 17th. Under no circumstances are you going to pay that other balance due. Absolutely not. Have a paper trail here. All phone calls stop. Make sure you have written confirmations of what you paid them, written confirmations of their responses with names and titles of the person or persons who responded to you, and then you have some recourse with your credit card company. But right now, there's nothing for you to do for about a month, except to put everything you just told me in writing and make sure they respond to it. And then, doctor, let me know what happens, all right? This ain't over yet, but you're not alone in this, and we'll help you. Here's one. Which is interesting because so many emails from you about refunds. Well, here's one. And this really is so indicative of a definition of terms and misunderstanding. Tell me this, before I even read the email. Is Expedia a travel agency? Do they work for you? Does Travelocity work for you? Or Orbitz? Or Hotwire? Or any of those OTAs? Remember, an OTA stands for Online Travel Agency. So everybody makes the presumption, in all good faith, that they're a travel agent. Until something goes wrong and they tell you, we can't do anything for you, we're not really a travel agent. Isn't that interesting? Well, Ed and Charlie Judson wrote me that China Airlines canceled their flight from New York City. They requested a credit from Expedia. They got no reply. The Expedia site only offered the option of cancellation, but no refund. All right? Crazy, right? And it got crazy. I mean, this went on and on and on. This has been going on for quite some time. And finally, they decided to dispute the charge with their credit card company. And the credit card company, of course, the dispute was with Expedia because Expedia was the one that processed the transaction, right? When they got their bill on their credit card statement, it didn't say China Airlines. It said Expedia. And guess what? Then the bank comes back and said that Expedia denied the dispute due to their own policy that disputes must be settled directly between the customer and Expedia. Well, that's what they tried to do, and Expedia wouldn't do it. So Expedia's policy doesn't hold water here. Why? Because it's the credit law that says you're due a refund if something's canceled. Bingo. You're in. right? Because the China Airlines flight was emanating from New York. They're coming under the DOT rule. So what you need to do is write a complaint letter, not just to Expedia and the credit card company. You write a letter of complaint to the U.S. Department of Transportation, and you copy me. It's really as simple as that. And, you know, I'll be back with some more in a minute, because in every case, everybody's hiding behind a new definition of terms that they never bothered to disclose to you when you purchased your ticket from what? An online travel agency. Listen to this one. I got this from, I think, Michelle. I think it's a Michelle who sent this. I booked a hotel via Hotwire back in February for a hotel in London, the Standard, coming up in June. I paid $1,400 for the six-night stay. Of course, the trip is canceled, as United has already canceled my flights, and she got a full refund. Yay. She actually credits me. I'll take that. And I tried to cancel the hotel, which, by the way, the hotel is currently closed. And she received a reply saying the hotel rejected her cancel request and her refund request. Well, you know what? You can't do that. There's a 14-day quarantine rule in effect in the UK, and that's not going anywhere anytime soon. Hotwire, of course, is not acting as a travel agent anymore. They're acting as a sort of a disinterested conduit and won't go to bat for her. So, yes, she wants to know if she has any recourse to get my money back. You bet. I'm assuming you paid by credit card. And under the credit card rules, there's Regulation Z. I talked about it earlier in the show. And there's even something called the MasterCard and Visa network policy. You found out about this, about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? You now have 120 days under the Visa and MasterCard network policy to dispute that charge. And go for it. And I would love to see this tested in court. I really would. Let's say your dispute or your claim is denied. Then go to court and file a small claims court action against Hotwire.com. That's who you bought the ticket from. That's who you bought the, certainly that's who you bought the hotel room from. Look at your credit card statement. It didn't say Standard Hotel. It said Hotwire. So they have some responsibility here to at least act on your behalf. And they just don't want to do it. Well, guess what? Not going to do it may not hold up in court. I would love to see this tested in court so we finally come up with a acceptable definition, a consumer-friendly definition of what is and who is a travel agent. I mean, it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And for those of you, and there have been many of you, who've written me about your inability to get refunds from the airlines, it's starting to change. Remember, they're each getting billions of dollars in the CARES Act. And if there are no consumer protections with that, that's one of the reasons why there's now pending legislation in Congress to basically make that DOT rule law. Now, will that legislation ever pass? Probably not. But it's certainly getting everybody's attention. So don't lose hope. Be sure to write the airline. Be sure to write the U.S. Department of Transportation. And while you're at it, write me. Copy me on these things. Because the rules are clearly in your favor, especially if you're not the one who canceled the trip. If the airlines did it, guess what? It's their deal. They have to do it. And I don't care what they do. Even if they cancel your initial flight by moving you on a flight 2 hours later, technically they've canceled your flight. And they can't hide behind that. We've seen a number of tour companies now doing the right thing. Trafalgar's doing it. Contiki's doing it. They're giving full refunds. They're doing the right thing. Colette Tours, a shout out to them. They've always done the right thing. You know, they put that money in escrow, and they do that until the trip leaves. And if the trip doesn't leave, that money comes right back to you. That's the way it should be. But when you see how many billions of dollars was already held by airlines, hotels, tour operators for future travel that they may have already spent knowing, or at least not protecting themselves from the possibility of mass cancellations due to entire countries being closed, for starters, well, then we have to change the way it's done. The USTOA, the United States Tour Operators Association, had a plan in place. Somebody tells me it's still in place to protect you with a $1 million escrow policy so that if you book a tour with them, your money is put into escrow, and that money cannot then be released to the tour operator until you get on the bus or the cruise ship or whatever. And that's really the way it's supposed to be. And we've been playing loose and fast with this, and it's come back to really hurt people. Last but not least, so many emails from you on bookit.com. That's the online travel agency that went Chapter 11, closed their doors, probably will be liquidated. But they come under the same rule as Regulation Z and the network policy of MasterCard and Visa. So for all you Bookit folks, listen to what I say, you have standing. That music means we're out of time for the entire show. Lots of people to thank. Dara Stone, our chief producer, Alessandra B., and the major man of the hour, Jeff Ryder, doing the boards in Connecticut. We'll see you next week, everybody, from the same location. I'm not going to say a different location. It's going to be New York. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to Ion Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Ion Travel is a CBS Audio Network production.